The reading today comes out of 1 Corinthians 9. And in chapter 8, Paul is spending a lot of time telling them that since they're following Christ, things they were not allowed to do, they can do now. Because, and especially it's about eating food. They were told not to eat certain kinds of food, and they weren't allowed to buy the meat that would be sacrificed to idols. And he said to them, early in 8, food will not bring us close to God. He's also saying that eating those kind of foods will not separate you from God. He's saying your faith will allow you to do things you've never done before. So he's talking about food. And so when he starts, I'm going to read verse 15. But I have made no use of any of these rites, nor am I writing this so that they may be applied in my case. Indeed, I would rather die than that no one would deprive me of my ground for boasting. So he's saying the rules are really important, but what's more important to me is being able to boast in Jesus Christ. So let us join where we come in. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me. For woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I will have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. He kind of talks all over the place, but I'm hoping the sermon will help with this. For though I am free with respect to all, eating any kind of food, being with anyone, I have made myself a slave to all so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself was not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so that I may win those outside the law. Okay, now breathe. To the weak, I became weak, so that I may win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Paul is a mouthful sometimes. But I find such truth in this, and it took me a while to get there. I was contemplating this word boasting. I don't think we talk about boasting much. It certainly doesn't come up in my vocabulary. And when I do think about boasting, I think of kind of bragging or a little bit too proud or a little puffed up or talking too much about myself. It reminds me of those bumper stickers I saw more in suburban areas. My child's an honor school student at such and such a school. I remember driving in a car with a friend of mine, and she said, I'm just tired of those bumper stickers. I wish they said, I have a really great kid in my house. You read in Dear Abby this week that a mother said to her son, I wish you could get me one of those stickers. And the kid said, well, I could steal you one. And I think the kid was kind of teasing her, really, this isn't about you. Really, do you really need that so you can boast? But I think Paul is talking about a different thing here. He is not boasting to draw attention to himself. I mean, that's what he was saying no to. He's boasting about God. He's boasted about what it means to be one that follows God. He wants to talk about being on the way of Christ. He wants to draw attention not to him, but move it to be one who follows in the way of Jesus. It's about talking and living and sharing what a privilege and an obligation it is to follow Christ. I mean, he says he really doesn't have a choice. This is an obligation on me. And woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. Woe to me really means I will go to hell if I don't proclaim it. He's saying, this is a serious thing. I have to do it. I have no choice. He says, I can't help myself. And really, I'm not even going to take money for it because God has laid this upon me. I've been entrusted to do a job with a commission. It is to proclaim the gospel. And I'm thinking, I think that we could learn to boast a little bit more about what God is doing in this church and what God is doing in the lives of our people, not to talk about us, but to invite people in. And so I wanted to brag about you a little bit. I wanted to boast about you. And when I talk to other people, I say how exceptionally welcoming this church is, that you have found room for people. You don't have to say, I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. You say, I want to be here, and you find them in your pew. I've seen you take people down to coffee hour just so they'd be included. I mean, sometimes you will sit next to people that are maybe not so comfortable to you, and you sit with them anyway. I love when Betsy Chow is here, because a lot of people, well, we used to have a group of kind of homeless and little marginal housing that would sit in the back couple of pews, and Betsy would always go sit with them to make sure they were welcomed and kind of help them in the worship. I just love that. Look at these five members. They came because they were welcomed here on behalf of Christ. And they talk about why, what would they boast about? They talk about how this church is involved in the community. They talked about how this church cares about gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual issues, that these are important, that everyone is included. I love this about this church. When I boast about what happened in Martin Luther King March. Over a dozen of our members marched. Okay, now I'm bragging. This is a little bit different, because I think we had the biggest church contingent that I could see, especially of white churches. And that was a really strong treatment. I was proud of you. And then they wore the signs that those two fabulous church members did. You know, I mean, our little kids down, they're not kids, they're sixth and fourth grade. The young people. They, in Sunday school, were given a variety of Martin Luther King quotes, and they got to choose which ones they thought should go on posters. And they spent time. And they picked some ones that made their teacher, Irwin, a little bit uneasy, but he let them write them anyway, read them and write them anyway. And then at the march, our members wore them on their backs and held them up. And they were provocative. And I had people coming to us and say, I really love what you wrote. And I said, I didn't do it. This is what my youth did. And they were so impressed. That's the kind of boasting I'm talking about. And then I would boast about what happened in worship last week. I'm not going to boast about what a fabulous sermon it was, but something happened during the sermon. Do you remember Craig Kenny, who we just talked about? He had this party last weekend. Friends helped him bring into church One of his friends decided that his family needed to come out and see Craig before he died. They had not seen them for a very long time. And first Craig wanted to go to Las Vegas. That's what he wanted to do, invite his family and friends to Las Vegas. And thank God I was invited to that. But his health was doing so bad he couldn't go to Las Vegas. So decided that they would have a party here. So a sister, a brother, a cousin, their families who had not seen Craig for years were flown out. And then at a hotel in town, a presidential suite was rented and a party happened and it was catered and Craig got to show it and got to invite people and family and friends and workers all came to this party for Craig to celebrate him so Craig could show his family what a man he had become. And I thought, oh my gosh, that you're going to be so tired. I mean, he was holding on. The man's under hospice, and he's the host of a party. He took his family to Ruth Chris on Saturday with some money he got for his retirement and got to be the host. He loved it. And I thought, there's no way he's coming to church. But he told me he was going to drag his family in because he wanted to meet us. Do you remember halfway through the sermon, in walks Craig, Kenny, and his family? And where did they sit? Like on the second pew they came in. And I stopped the sermon, and I welcomed them and told them, we're so glad to see you. And you know what you did? You clapped. You said, welcome, Craig. Greg, welcome to you. Welcome to the family. And it was beautiful. There was Greg Kenny, and he was welcomed. And his family got to see what a special part he was. You know, I love that. I mean, really, you could have shamed him a little bit. You're coming late. You're not sitting in the back with the real Presbyterians. And you welcomed him. Do you know, that's when I was proud of you, because you were the church on that day. See, that's the kind of things I would boast about in church. And if we had a little bit more time in church, I was going to make you talk to each other today and boast a bit. I know. Oh, you're thinking, oh, thank God she was going to make us talk to each other. You're saved only because we had new members join, so they love you coming. And I would have had you talk to each other, say, what would you boast about this church? Can you become comfortable about that? And if you had nothing to boast about, maybe you could talk and get to know the person to listen to them. Well, you're free from that. Well, Paul had this deep longing to let the gospel be known, to have it free of charge. You can pay me or you don't have to. I think he was also saying, you know, you don't have to have money to be a member of this church, that God's grace and love and forgiveness is for everyone. See, he wanted the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to be for all people. There were no boundaries to this gift. He wanted to win people to the gospel, to the good news. And he would go to places and be with people that he would not naturally feel comfortable with. He wanted to make himself available to everyone so they could hear. If he was talking to a manual laborer or a slave, he would become a manual laborer, a slave, so he could talk to them. So if he was talking to someone who was of party A, he would become of party A so they could talk. If they believed in B, he would talk about B so they could talk to them. He found them on their level. I just love that about him. And tell you the truth, I think Paul would eat a meal with anyone. Reminds me of my friend Steve, who worked for the National Church. He helped set up programs for young adults. And my friend Steve, honestly, was the pickiest eater I ever know. I mean, he'd want every day a croissant, and at dinner he would eat pasta, steak, or salmon. And we'd go to a restaurant in Spain, and he'd want pasta. We'd go to Hawaii, and he'd want salmon. Really, there aren't salmon in Hawaii. We'd go somewhere where there's an imaginative breakfast, and he goes, I want a croissant. Really, we're in the Caribbean. He just was so picky. But when he went overseas, and he'd go to places in the international churches to talk about how could they use a volunteer, what can we do with and for you, he'd eat whatever was put in front of him, and they would do their very best. He told me once when he was in Africa, I think Ethiopia, the great snack food was live termites. So they brought termites, and you'd put a little stick down. They'd climb on the stick, and you'd eat them in your mouth. Steve did that because he knew that they were giving him his best. Somewhere in Asia, he got soup, and they ladled him out soup. They found the best thing, and they handed it to him. You know how that is, the best thing? He looks down. It was an eyeball. Steve, who would not eat anything but a croissant, swallowed it because they were watching him, because they gave him the best, and he did it because he knew then he could be with them at the meal. That's the kind of adaptability we're talking about. When you hear that line from Paul where he says, I become all things to all people, some people hear that and they say, oh, that sounds kind of milquetoast. Really? You're going to be like this one, you're going to be a chameleon, and you will stand for nothing. It's not what Paul is saying. He is clear that he is standing for God, but he will be adaptable. he will be acceptable to all kinds of people, to know them and to listen to them so they can have a conversation about Christ. So he knows them. There's a story about a very famous speaker in the 18th century who had this ability of being with everyone. And one person came up to him and complained about his local country parish. He goes, all they do is talk about runts. It's little cows. All they do is talk about cows. And this person said, well, then you better learn to talk about cows, because it's their passion. If you're talking to someone who works in eyeglasses, then you learn about eyeglasses. If you talk to someone in tech, you talk about tech, because if you there are with them, they may be able to hear and receive the blessings of Jesus Christ. All things to all people for Jesus Christ. My friend works at a church that has a youth service once a month. And in that world, youth service means they bring in a lot of drums. No electrical guitars, but a lot of drums. And it makes some noise. But young people and other people come in that day, and there's a group of old ladies who sit in the back pew. They hate the drums. But they know it speaks to the youth, and they know they can support them so they can sit with them. That's the kind of old things to old people. So I want you, friends, to become comfortable with boasting a bit about what Jesus Christ has done for you, how you see God involved in the world, how God is calling us. And then we come to this table where there is room for everyone. And we have bread and we have rice crackers, so all can have it. We have wine and we have grape juice. Thank God you will find no eyeballs in any of those cups. But what it says, we want all to come and take of this meal, to come and to learn that Christ is for us and that we are Christ. That is something to boast about. Amen.